In recent years, more federal land in the U.S. has been declared off-limits for logging. In the past week, President Clinton accelerated that trend, banning new roads and most commercial logging on more than a quarter of federally owned land. But north of the border, government policies are very different. Canada's once pristine forests are vanishing at a rate that is alarming environmentalists. NPR's Kathleen Schock reports.
Until recently, the Sims Creek Valley, northwest of Vancouver, Canada, was a roadless wilderness. Bald eagles still perch by the creek watching for salmon. Glaciers still glint between the jagged peaks on the valley's rim. But to Joe Foy, director of the Western Canada Wilderness Committee, the rest of the landscape is nearly unrecognizable.
It's weird. It's like you dream the forest. It's almost as if the forest had never existed.
A few trees huddle up near the rocks, but the skirts of the mountains below are tawny gray fields of churned up earth littered with splintered wood. Some of the shards are as big as a man, and the tree stumps are enormous. Foy clambers onto one freshly cut stump that's easily 12 feet across.
We know that this tree had lived for 1,000 years in this spot before International Forest Products cut it down. And what this company's been doing is snaking its roads up these mountain valleys and specifically targeting these heritage groves.
Environmentalists say logging practices here in British Columbia threaten irreplaceable ecosystems and sully the streams where salmon need to spawn. Mitch Anderson is a staff scientist with the Sierra Legal Defense Fund.
We're standing right beside a small stream that looks like it's about 4.5 feet wide. That stream receives no mandatory protection under BC forestry law at all. They can log right to the edge of it, and they have. That same stream in the Pacific Northwest in the U.S. would receive, if it's a fish stream, a 300-foot buffer zone on either side.
Anderson says his group has found that 8 out of 10 streams in coastal British Columbia have been logged right up to the banks. Grizzly bears and other animals are also being threatened, according to wilderness educator John Clark. It's a blustery winter day, and Clark is standing in the midst of a small patch of old growth near Vancouver.
It's almost like being indoors here. It looks like it's upholstered in moss, and there's no wind. You could burn a candle here. The flame would hardly waver, and that's good winter protection for animals.
Clark says beneath such trees, he often finds a solid blanket of animal droppings.
They're all crowded in there because all the rest of the old growth around that whole part of the world is gone. Every animal that used to winter over that whole valley is now, crowded into this one remaining chunk of old growth.
Clark says he often returns from such forests only to learn that they're about to be cut down. The best way to understand the scale of the logging in British Columbia is to fly over it.
We're going to want to follow that river.
Kevin Scott, director of Canadian programs for Defenders of Wildlife, is peering out of a Cessna as it weaves through the mountain valleys to Vancouver's north. Pyramids of rock, glinting and dolloped with snow, rise on all sides. The olive slopes draped below them are checkered with clear cuts, and all but a handful of the hundreds of valleys we cross have logging roads built almost to the end.
We can see the road, which is zigzagging through the clear cut itself. It almost looks like somebody threw spaghetti against a wall. And you can see the rocks and the different debris coming off of the road directly into the stream there. And they have taken every single tree from the beginning of that road to right beside the glacier.
Environmentalists say the government is encouraging private companies to mow down old-growth forests. Nearly all the land logged in Canada is public. Provincial governments offer huge tracts to forest products companies, which are supposed to harvest the trees, create jobs, and provide the government with tax revenue. The companies must pay for the timber, but they can deduct many expenses. Building roads and flying helicopters into ever more remote areas is costly. So, according to Mitch Anderson of the Sierra Legal Defense Fund, some trees are practically given away.
The legal minimum in British Columbia is 25 cents a cubic meter, which translates into about $10 a logging truckload.
That's $10 Canadian. Currently, Canada has no federal endangered species law. Provincial governments are charged with protecting the environment, but they're accountable to voters who depend on logging for their livelihood. Conservation groups can't sue to protect old trees and fragile habitats the way they can in the U.S., and some complain that logging companies end up doing pretty much what they want to. Loggers and mill operators defend what they're doing. Steve Kaufman is director of Manning Diversified Forest Products, which owns a small mill 400 miles north of Edmonton, Alberta. He points out that clear-cut areas do get replanted.
People don't realize that. They see a picture of a clear-cut. It's ugly, but it'll grow back.
Kaufman argues that harvesting wood causes less damage to the environment than mining and generating the energy needed to make buildings out of concrete or steel. And it's a necessity, he says.
Bearing in mind that we got 6 billion people, about to be 8, and they all like to be housed.
And outside of the cities, logging is also the main economic activity throughout most of British Columbia. Rita Stacey is president of the Chamber of Commerce in Revelstoke, a town halfway between Vancouver and Calgary. Revelstoke is lucky because it boasts heliskiing and other tourist attractions. Still, Stacey says, unemployment is above 12%, and the timber industry provides a third of the jobs.
Either working at the mill, whether it's stacking lumber or driving logging truck, or they're out in the field, they're fallers, they're buckers. It's the whole realm of the picture, and it just dominoes all the way down.
David Gray, executive vice president of Mill and Timber, accuses environmentalists of wanting to turn British Columbia into a museum for rich foreigners.
They would have a forest that is sitting there untouched, and those British Columbians that are still here will paddle out to the tourist boats in our canoes and dive for quarters and amuse the people from other places.
Gray contends that the regulations governing logging in British Columbia and elsewhere in Canada are plenty strict. Douglas MacArthur, a former deputy minister in British Columbia's government, who's currently an advisor to the Free Trade Lumber Council, agrees. He says, unlike the U.S., Canada still has vast wilderness areas, and British Columbia has declared 12% of its territory off limits to logging.
Going back a fair number of years, there were practices in British Columbia that we are not proud of and that that should not have taken place. But we've had very major changes over the last few years in our forest policies. We have a new forest practices code brought in 1996, which establishes extremely high standards with respect to harvesting of forest across all of our land.
MacArthur, who was instrumental in drafting the new code, says it limits the size of clear cuts and provides buffers for fish streams.
We now have biodiversity protection that ensures that all ranges of species, from microorganisms up to game animals and so on, that their habitat is protected. We feel that our standards will stand up to anything that takes place across the border. And, of course, in the United States, of course, a lot of the land is private land, which doesn't enjoy the kind of restrictions that exist on federal lands.
But environmentalists point to freshly logged areas like Sims Creek as proof that little has changed. Government officials concede that logging companies are bending some of the new rules and that others haven't been fully implemented yet. And some allow that, with all the logging currently planned, endangered animals like the grizzly bear will have fewer and fewer places to go. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Vancouver, British Columbia.